Can I offer you a very warm welcome to our service today? Delighted that you can share with us wherever you are from. It's a bit windy here in Newton Mearns, and so trust that if there's some noise in the background, that you won't be disturbed by it. We are certainly separated from one another, but we trust that the Lord Jesus himself will be with us. If we can be of any help to you, if we can get some shopping, some medication, if we can simply just pray for you, then please feel free to contact us. We would love to hear from you. We have been memorizing our catechism, and the reason we've been doing that is not because the catechism itself is significant, though it helps us put some words to our faith, but really it's significant because what it's telling us about is what the scripture declares to us. When I introduce the catechism today, we'll be talking about number 13, can anyone keep the law perfectly, the law of God that is? And the answer is, since the fall, no mere human being has been able to keep the law of God perfectly, but consistently breaks it through thought, word, and deed. I have been inviting you to send in some recordings of you memorizing the catechism. We have one. Listen carefully, and some sweets will go out to this family.
What is our only hope in life and death?
That we are not our own, but belong, body and soul, in life and death, to God our Father and our Saviour, Jesus Christ.
What is God?
God is the creator and sustainer of everyone and everything. He is eternal, infinite, and unchangeable in his power and perfection, goodness and glory, wisdom, justice and truth. Nothing happens except through him and by his will.
How many persons are there in God?
There are three persons in the one true and living God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They are the same in substance, equal in power and glory.
How and why did God create us?
God created us, male and female, in his own image, to know him, love him, live with him, and glorify him. It is right that we who are created by God should live to his glory.
What did God create?
God created all things by his powerful word.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was, all creation, all his creation was very good.
Yeah.
Everything was, everything flourished under his loving rule.
Delighted that Sandra and family were able to help with our memorizing of our catechism. And we would be very keen for others to send in, even if it's just one slot or more, we'd be delighted to hear from you. They were the first five. That's great. And we want to call ourselves to worship. The psalmist says this, blessed is the one who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But their delight is in the law of God, and on his law they meditate day and night. That person's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season. Let's sing together as we praise God.
Now is the time to give.
Let us pray. Gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have blessed us with your word. We thank you that we can enjoy praising you together in that word. We pray, Father, that as we reflect on your word this day, that we might be like that blessed person who doesn't walk in the ways of the wicked, but learns your law and learns to live how you want us to live and find in that there's a great delight in your ways, and that we would find that we ourselves become like that fruitful tree planted by streams of water, that we would be indeed people who would bring forward a really wonderful life, not only for ourselves, not only for those around us, but certainly in giving you all the honour and the praise and the glory that is rightfully yours. Father God, forgive us for the times that we don't think about you, when we're not interested in what you would say to us, how you would direct our feet. Forgive us, Lord, when we are more interested in our own ways and the ways of others, and therefore find ourselves straying from your law. Forgive us, Lord, and take us to that incredible cross of Calvary, where Jesus went in love for us, he gave himself for us, he died in our place under your judgment, that we might be freed from it and for the forgiveness of our sins. And even more than that, Lord, on that third day rose to resurrection life, that we might have eternal life. Lord, thank you for the blessing that Jesus has become to us, and you have opened our hearts to trust in him. And we confess, Lord, that without your Spirit's work within us, we would not know anything of your grace. But you have gifted this to us, and we marvel at this afresh on this Lord's Day. And we want to come with our songs to worship you. We want to come with our praise to honor you. We want to come and hear from you. Wherever we are, here in this church building, in our own homes, on our own or with others, Lord, come, we pray, because we come to you in the name of Jesus, your Son. And you say that when two or three meet in his name, so you promise to be present. Lord, we are separated from one another, but together we come in the name of Jesus. Join us, we pray, in our worship. In Jesus' name. Amen. We sing together to his praise. we've been delighted that over these days that Pauline has been able to speak to us from the comforts of our own home, but has been able to tell us about Jesus, and especially through the catechism. And so we're going to go back to Pauline. And this week, she's got some more helpers with her. And we're delighted to hear from this family as they share with us what they've been learning about the catechism.
Good morning. Well, today's question, we're on to number 13 in our catechism series, is, can anyone keep the law of God perfectly? Now, before we answer that question and look into it a bit more, the Fisher family are going to help us remember what the Ten Commandments are. That's the law of God. Have a watch at this.
Commandment number one.
God is number one.
Commandment number
two.
Don't bow down to idols or false gods.
Commandment number
three.
Remember your words and treat God's name with respect.
Commandment number
four.
Stop and rest on the Sabbath day. Commandment number
five.
Honor your parents.
Commandment number
six.
Do not murder.
Commandment number
seven.
There are two people in a marriage, not five.
Commandment number
eight.
Do not steal.
Commandment number
nine.
Don't lie.
Commandment number
ten.
Don't want what other people have.
So that's the law of God. And the question asks, can anyone keep it perfectly? Let's have a look in the Bible to see if we can find an answer there. I'm in the book of Romans, chapter 3 and verse 10. And there it says, there is no one without sin. No, not one. So I think that answers our question. The answer is no. No one can keep it. And in the catechism it says, since the fall, no human has been able to perfectly keep God's law. Now, every single person fails to keep the law perfectly, even if we try our very best. Some of us might manage a lot of it, but almost being able to keep it isn't good enough for God. Watch these examples of when almost wasn't good enough. Can you think of a time that almost wasn't quite good enough for you? For me, I can think of loads, like the time I almost got to the top of the climbing wall, or I almost got enough marks to pass a test, but it wasn't quite good enough. Sometimes we might get it right once, or promise to try harder, but it's really difficult. Some people have just been celebrating VE Day, the end of the Second World War in Europe, the 75th anniversary. But at the end of the First World War, people said that was the war to end all wars. But we kept failing and getting it wrong again and again. Now, sometimes we might be tempted to think that because we behave well, we do well at school, we go to church, that we're better than others. I mean, we're not criminals after all. And maybe we think that's how we get to heaven. And when Paul wrote his letter to the Romans, some thought that if they came from a Jewish family, that they were better than people who followed Jesus who weren't from a Jewish family. But in verse 23 in that book in Romans, it says, all people have sinned and are not good enough for God's glory. Because we struggle to keep commandments 1-4, our relationship with God is spoiled. And because we find commandments 5-10 hard, then our relationship with others is spoiled too. So, does that mean that we just give up and don't try? There's no point if we can't do it perfectly. Well, no, because the more we try, the better our relationship with God and with others will be. Have you heard the phrase, try, try, try again? Well, that's the same here. Now, there is one person who did keep the law perfectly. But how can that be, since it says in the Bible in our question that no human has ever been able to keep it perfectly? Well, that one person is Jesus. While he was on earth, he was fully human, but he was also fully God. Now, the law helps us to see where we have failed and helps us to understand how much we need Jesus. God punishes those who can't keep his law perfectly, just like we're his enemies. But because Jesus did keep the law perfectly, he took that punishment for us when he died on the cross. Verse 24 in the book of Romans in chapter 3 says, people are made right with God by his grace, which is a free gift. They are made right with God by being made free from sin through Jesus Christ. If we all thought we were perfect, then we wouldn't realise how much we need Jesus and how much love God has shown us.
Really grateful to Pauline for this and for the way that she's been sharing in our services over the weeks, and of course to the Fisher family. It's right though that we give God thanks for all the good things that he blesses us with, and it's also right that we pray for ourselves, for others, and even our world. And so Sheila is going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Almighty God, gracious and loving Heavenly Father, you are the one eternal God, sovereign, holy, just, infinite, full of compassion, love, and grace. We come before you this morning in these very abnormal times, and we thank you that you are eternal, unchangeable, and that your word tells us, I, the Lord, do not change. We thank you for so many blessings, for family and friends, for homes and food, for this fellowship, for health and social care, and much more. But most of all, Father, we thank you for the gift of Jesus. We thank you that you love each one of us so much that you gave your Son Jesus into the world, fully God but also fully man, and sinless he died on a cross, paying the penalty for our sins. Thank you that through repentance and faith, we have the assurance that our sins are forgiven. Thank you that Jesus ascended into heaven and is at your right-hand side interceding for us now. Thank you that we are able to come into your presence and that you hear our prayers because of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for Jesus who loved us and gave himself for us. Father, there are so many situations in our hearts today. We think of our broken world in turmoil with injustice, poverty, persecution, and a pandemic. We pray for leaders of all countries that they govern wisely, and we pray that you raise up leaders throughout the world who trust you and turn to you for guidance. We pray especially for our own leaders in Holyrood and Westminster. May they govern with wisdom, not in self-interest, and ask that you guide their decisions. We lift before you all those who are suffering directly or indirectly from the virus. We pray, Father, that in this broken world, where people feel deep fear and uncertainty, that many may turn to you for forgiveness and healing. We pray for our own fellowship here, physically separated just now, but united in our love for you and also for each other. We pray that all may know your peace, which transcends all understanding. We pray, Father, for those amongst us or known to us who are ill, anxious, afraid, elderly, bereaved, caring for loved ones, worried about family members, struggling financially, may they know your presence and arms of comfort and peace. We pray for those known to us abroad, be with them. And we think of May and Bryson in South Africa, be close to them. Thank you for Scott and Anita. We pray for Scott as he opens your scriptures. May we hear your word to us. We pray for Daniel and Pauline as they keep in contact and nurture the faith of young people and families just now. We pray for ourselves. May our lives be acceptable to you. Help us to trust you fully. And may we with the psalmist say, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts him and I am helped. We pray in Jesus our Lord and Saviour's name. Amen.
We're going to read from chapter 3. And in Romans chapter 3, we're going to read verses 9 through 31. Let us hear God's word as we read from Romans chapter 3, 9 through 31. Paul asks this question, what shall we conclude then? Do we have any advantage? That is, for being Jews? Not at all, for we've already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are all under the power of sin. As it is written, there's no one righteous, not even one. There's no one who understands. There's no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There's no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways. And the way of peace they do not know. There's no fear of God in their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood, to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It's excluded. Because of what law? The law that requires works? No. Because of the law that requires faith. For we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Or God, the God of the Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles too? Yes, of Gentiles too. Since there's only one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through that same faith. Do we then nullify the law by this faith? Not at all. Rather, we uphold the law. May the Lord bless this reading from his word. One of the great things that we are so encouraged by in the good news of Jesus Christ is that while we uphold the law and while we live out the law as those who have been brought into relationship with him, we can do so in his grace, in his free gift of love and mercy and forgiveness through Jesus. We're going to sing of that in this hymn, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound That Saved a Wretch Like Me.